Hi, this is Rachel in Recover. We've got a special guest with us, Anne, and she's going to tell us a little bit about herself. She's a survivor of sexual abuse, but she's also going to tell us a little bit about who she is as a person.
Hi, thank you for letting me share with you today. My name is Anne, and I am married for 40 years, and I have four grown children and five grandchildren. By profession, I'm a language teacher, and I also have career worked in West Africa as a missionary who teaches and we church plant and mentor, disciple, basically just encourage the nationals.
So we have some questions here for Anne to tell us a little bit about her recovery steps. What are things you have done for recovery of being sexually abused?
As a young adult, I had my first counseling experience. It was not positive. But since then, I've continued to seek help. A lot of the issues were became available more obviously through marriage and issues that showed up there. I also had somebody ask me to write down the events, anything that had happened, and what was really helpful was writing down who was involved, where it was, but what happened that was really helpful was the when for me, because I realized that I had three very significant traumas within a month or two, and I think that's what really set things off.
What has been the most helpful?
I think continuing to be encouraged as I continue to talk to people and start finding people that were positive and kind of understood the situation and the effects that it has on people. The culture also is more willing to talk about things and accept it. And as I realize more and more of my friends, siblings, colleagues, other people had also had either sexual abuse or other traumas, and seeing some of the similarities of how that exhibited in their lives, it was very encouraging to me to continue to push on and make sure that I sought help, talked about it, read more, listened to things, so that I could understand more about how it was affecting me, and I was also very encouraged that I could heal and not just have to be a broken vessel.
How did your family respond?
My family, I never told anybody about it. I didn't believe that I would be believed. I didn't believe that those who were my caretakers would be able to handle it themselves. My family of origin has its own issues. Most families have lots of issues. But my sister was also involved. And so what we did was self-protect by deciding that we would make a plan. And if there were the perpetrator or perpetrators were involved, we would just never be alone in that situation again. And so that's the way we deal with it. Since then, other family members have, all female, have had some things happen, and we've talked about it. And I was very open with my children, even my sons, that it's something that can happen to anybody, and it does affect you. My parents and the caretakers still don't really know anything about it. I didn't feel like it was something that would be beneficial to me at the time.
How did your community respond?
Well, I think it's the same kind of thing is with the family telling. I didn't tell my community until I was already married. And as things would come up, I would share that I had survived sexual abuse. But even that at that time, 40 years ago, people really weren't talking about it the way they are now. So I'm very open about it if it's the right time and the right opportunity to share. So I think that my community is the same situation. If I've been in charge of teaching, or if I have met a colleague or a trainee who I think is exhibiting certain traits that I have seen to be common, as we get to know each other more, I'm very free to say something if it seems appropriate, and very often it ministers to the other person. So that's encouraged me to just not be quiet about it and hide it.
Was there any re-victimization or victim blaming?
I would say yes. It changed from physical abuse to verbal and emotional manipulation. There was some blaming of things when I began to realize that a lot of the behaviors were inappropriate. They were just plain wrong. They were hurtful. I would call one of the other people on their behavior, and I was blamed for, it's your fault, you're weird, you're sexually uptight. And all these people were people that should have been caretakers, trusted people in my life. The emotional and verbal kinds of abuse were noticing that I was in puberty and calling attention to it, wolf calls, watching me as I walked across the room and what I was wearing, and just very, very wrong, inappropriate behavior for somebody that is in a parental kind of situation.
How did this impact your career?
I don't think it has affected my career, other than perhaps it's made me really self-conscious about things, and that I have to be really perfect, I have to protect myself, I have to be on guard, particularly in situations where there are not even just males, I would say sexually it would be males, but even females who are very assertive and who would want to in some way make me feel less than. So I protect myself either from fleeing or definitely from being aggressive in those situations, becoming angry or fearful, saying things that I probably normally would not say.
How has this impacted your marriage?
I think the most significant thing is that not understanding why you react, why you have triggers, and how to deal with those and how to get help for those when you're really in pain and you really want to figure it out and you can't find somebody that you can trust. That was really, really hard. It also was very hard on my husband because he didn't obviously understand hesitations and discomfort with sexuality, particularly not in performance issues, but in the playfulness that so many other couples, particularly on television and things, you see, I would see women who just love sex and they would want to have sex all the time and they always enjoyed it, and the men would play with them, be playful with them, and the women would react great. And I didn't feel that way. So for many, many years, even through a lot of counseling, to just try to understand each other and love each other well, it took a long time. And he has grown very, very loving and patient, and understands a lot more about it and is very sensitive about it to me. He's sensitive to me, not about it, as well as I've grown, and there's been a lot of breakthroughs. So our relationship is really evolved, and it's a lot more positive. But it was very, very hard, particularly in the beginning.
How has this affected your parenting?
As a young mother, I had not really started on the counseling track or trying to really understand what had happened. So I was overly protective. I just knew that my children were not going to be hurt. I was not going to permit them to be around anybody that could hurt them. And if I knew that they were in danger, I would really come to their side. And it took, it manifested itself in years later, realizing that I was doing way too much for them in an effort to not allow them to have any difficulties or hurt in their lives. So I would speak for them. I would solve problems for them, and to their detriment. So there's been a lot of asking for forgiveness and that kind of thing. But that I would think that would be the most obvious, is just trying to make sure that they were protected.
How did this impact your finances?
Other than maybe having to pay for counseling, buying books and things like that, I really don't believe it has. I can't think of any ways it would have.
Well, I mean, that stuff adds up.
Well, yeah, okay, so maybe just because of the resources that I needed and those kinds of things. But career-wise, I don't think it's done anything.
How has this impacted your overall long-term health?
I think that obviously when you live with stress, and that could come from so many areas in life, most of us do live under a lot of stress, but having to be on guard most of the time, and when you don't feel like there's a safe community or a place to rest and be calm, even in your own home or those kinds of things, then I know that that's obviously got to, in the long run, lead to poor health, mental, emotional, and specifically physical. I haven't had any real critical issues like cancer or anything, but to offset that, I do sleep. I sleep a lot, and that for me, that's the one way that I make sure that I am trying to help.
Okay. How has this impacted your social life?
Well, I don't know. I remember that people when I was younger, even when I met you when you were a little tot, would really comment on how intense I was. And I think that a lot of it was my own fear of myself. Not being comfortable, not thinking that I was good enough or that I could really be myself. So I was always on guard, and that feeling of intensity was just having my radar so high. In latter years here, I'm much more comfortable with myself, and that's to a great extent because of some of the healing that I've had. I'm much more comfortable with who I am and comfortable with people not liking if they don't like me. So I laugh more. I'm more comfortable with being in groups. I'm more comfortable with knowing what is right and what is wrong, and will tell people. So
to victims out there, what advice would you want to give them?
Particularly, you're not to blame, and don't stay alone. And if you have had things that are inappropriate, that are hard, that have hurt you, you need help. You need to continue to push. And guilt and shame and blame is going to shut you down. And that is the goal, to separate you and to keep you quiet. And you need to do the opposite. So I encourage you to keep pushing until you can find a safe community, even if it's one person, but two and three and four is better. But just keep telling until you get the help that you need. And don't stay alone, because that just leads to depression and separation.
How has this affected your long-term mental health?
I kind of feel like we addressed that with the health. I know that I'm much more comfortable. My faith upholds me, and I just feel happier now, and like I can really be who I was meant to be.
What was the grooming process?
Well, I think that having pornography around, having books around, talking about crass things, dirty jokes, sexual innuendo, double entendres, pretty much was from the time I was tiny. And so I thought it was pretty normal. And I think that was a form of grooming, I don't know that it was intentional, but I think that in a way it was grooming, because you think that everybody's family is like that. You don't know any different, so you don't question whether it's right or wrong or appropriate. I think the comments of one of my caretakers would play a game with me where he would have me kiss him on the cheek and say, tell me what kind of cologne I'm wearing. And it became this big joke that we would do together. And then it became, give me a hug. And at one point, that was the person that started really commenting on my physical development when I was going through puberty, and would watch me as I would cross in front of him. And he started fondling himself in front of me over his clothing, but would blame me because I was uncomfortable with it. And I think all of that was kind of training me to think that those things were acceptable. And it was in my adulthood, I mean in my 40s, when I realized how wrong those things were. As I put them in perspective of what would I think now as a parent, and somebody was doing that to my children, and I could immediately see it, that it was completely wrong. But I couldn't see it from my own perspective.
How has this impacted your faith?
I know a lot of people have an issue with trusting God, and especially as their Father, their Heavenly Father, and being angry or scared because God has not protected them from it. But I have not, I didn't feel that way. I have seen more that God has continued to pursue me and woo me and put people and situations in my life so that I could be healed. I've had some very kind and wise people who've helped me to realize that the wrongness of what was happening, that it was not my fault. It was never the intent of God to have people hurt each other like this. And I think it showed me the depth of sin that's in the world. And this is what affected me. Some other people have had other things that have really been terrible in their life that have traumatized them. But at all these points, the Lord has really been with me and provided for me care and protection, more knowledge, more ways to be healed and people that have come alongside me to protect me, help me, understand me, accept me, and point out along the way ways that I could continue to grow and change from those things, that the triggers and things that were negative behaviors.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Miss Ann, for coming on and telling us your story and sharing with us.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. I hope it helps somebody, and thank you for your time.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I hope to hear from you guys on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram. And you can always visit us at www.rachelonrecovery.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.